Yes, you are. You listen to the John Kurlish, Sherry Elliker Show. Andrew likes to refer to what we do as...
News-tame.
Yeah, come Sherry with the tame, man. Sherry with the hot takes on. She loves donuts and cupcakes. Oh. Yes, she does.
Yeah, I do.
But you never know. Because 95 pounds is all she weighs.
Sounds like a Christian song.
I like it. Just two nipples now, Sherry.
Oh, Jesus with us now. We raise our hands to God. Let's go to a Christian church over there in Issaquah. That's got that kind of like hip Christian song. Like you're driving through some state you've never been in before. You find a song and you're like, oh, I like this song. And you go, oh, it's a Christian song.
Yeah, a cross between like folk and
pop,
country pop. Yeah,
yeah. We should do a Christian song AI for you, Sherry.
You might catch on fire.
Good boy. I was able to dive into the water. I was on fire there for a moment. All right, a mysterious death. 20-year-old woman is found in this man's home. And here's the update, and it's got an interesting twist to it that has everybody here in the newsroom going, don't know, we should talk about the shoot. So the Seattle Times, Skyward 7, has not released the name of the guy because they don't do that until officially charge him. So the 58-year-old man was arrested after a body of a 20-year-old woman was found in his home in South Seattle yesterday. The media is not releasing any information on the suspect. One Twitter X user is alleging that it is the former Bothell City Council member whose term ended in January after not winning re-election. So here's the thing. So what's the rule on this thing? We're still following what everybody else is. Not until you charge, then you release the name of the individual, right? Isn't that how we're working this thing, Joe? And Sherry. Anyone?
Sherry
Joe. Yeah, Sherry Joe.
Well, he was arrested.
Right.
But he hasn't been charged. And just another little note, he did have injuries to the point where he's been taken to Harborview Medical Center.
Got it. Okay. So there is a guy that's sort of a journalist who not working with any particular media organization to be recognized by mainstream media. This guy, his name is PhotoSteve81. I've seen his video. He goes to different places. He sort of slips in there, shoots video. He works this thing as just sort of a journeyman journalist who's just trying to get these stories out there, right? It's basically Joe, sort of a Jonathan Cho style, although Cho works for the Discovery Institute.
Yeah.
Is this guy, PhotoSteve, working for anybody?
Not that I'm aware of. I think he's just kind of a guerrilla journalist.
Yeah, you see him in a bunch of different stuff that goes on. He goes in there. I'm sure he probably has this police scanner or something. Shows up, does the stories, and then he posts it. So he has this take on this particular case. This is from PhotoSteve81, who's looking into the death of the 20-year-old woman found there, 58-year-old man. And
just
he says,
yesterday, Bothell City Council member James McNeil was found with the body of a 20-year-old girl and was arrested for homicide. And yet again, I'm the only one telling the public about it. Myself and my team are going to be working on this all day today. We have multiple scenes we have to go get to try and tie this story together. It turns out early afternoon, McNeil was with this female in a house in Seattle. Neighbors saw them fighting. It sounds like she does have a background of possibly sex work and possibly exotic dancing. I was hit up by a number of women that she works around to get on this story. And there's some sort of argument. Then the next thing that comes in is a call to 911, but not from McNeil saying, hey, she needs help. It was from his attorney saying that he is with the body of this woman, that he will be surrendering and will not be making any statements. So obviously he's already lawyered up before they even were able to see if this girl could get help. I'll be waiting on the coroner's cause of death, but he was booked in the early hours of this morning for homicide 2. Once I get more documents, we'll be putting out more. But this is yet another one of these stories of somebody of some privilege and somebody of authority getting tied up in this and the media really just pumping the brakes. We had it happen with the one SPD shot a couple weeks ago trying to have sex with children, as well as the former Seattle Mayor Mike McGinn's house being raided for images of children, though that was his adult son. Nothing about that seems to tie back to him at this point, but the media didn't want to show it or show any of the photos we got of the raid itself. I'll have more later today.
You know what we should do, Joe? Get photo Steve 81. See if he'll talk to us. Because
okay.
Obviously, he felt a need to do this because he said twice or two or three times just in that cut right there that was 50-some seconds long that the media didn't do it. The media is not responding to it. Another story where the media is not directly accusing the media of covering up, but he feels he needs to go in there and do this sort of work. So it'd be interesting to see what photo Steve 81 says if he would talk to, quote-unquote, the media on this. And how long has he done it? And, you know, you have to be careful because the media is careful in that they don't want to, it's sort of a standard thing that they don't put the name out there until the charges, because you don't want to obviously slander or libel the individual, depending on how you're presenting the information, if it's not the actual person. So they are careful that way. I don't know if photo Steve 81 can be sued by anybody. I'm sure he can't. So he's sort of protected there. But be interesting to see, because he has showed up on a whole bunch of different stories. And I guess he feels that the media in Seattle sort of drops the ball or doesn't bother picking up the ball. So, Is he on this one, Sherry? This is the story about a guy. Don't forget, here's what they did. They passed this law a while ago in Seattle. The police are not allowed to pursue. And then they said, you see that? Look at all the lives that were saved by police now pursuing. But interestingly, right after that law got passed, they went from about 531 highway fatalities to 750 or 60 within a year. So it's like, yeah, maybe you have less cops chasing cars and people not dying because of that. Cops are not chasing the cars. But for some reason, it's really weird. Right after that law got passed, the number of people dying on the highways went up by 200 and some. So is there some connection to the fact that people feel they can speed without the cops catching them? They can steal a car without the cops going after them? More than 3,000 people have just taken off when the police come after them. So although you could point to one thing and say, look at that, we solved that problem. We don't have police pursuing, so therefore we're saving lives by police now pursuing. But at the same time, going on at the exact same time, you have an increase of more than 250 people dying in 1 year on highways, and people are speeding and they are evading the police. So looking at one thing around the other, so they're going to be changing that thing effectively. Was it June 1st the new changes come in place?
Yes. This is a story, though, about a man that was involved in a theft before all this came into play. And now he has been charged with something and he's finding it unfair and rather ironic.
Yeah. Oh, he's a stolen one.
Video captured the dramatic moment when a stolen vehicle blew past law enforcement. Pierce County deputies could not chase after him due to restrictive laws, but the truck's owner did.
It is very hopeless.
A year and a half ago, surveillance video captured the moment when this man got inside Aaron Babcock's truck at his dealership in broad daylight. He held the criminal at gunpoint, but the man kept on driving, even crashing into another truck. Babcock says that he did not want to shoot the suspect.
It's mind-blowing. It's something that, you know, it's like, they're getting so comfortable that, you know, normally you think that you're going to get your truck stolen in the middle of the night or something, but being at 3 o'clock and it's a sunny day and there's kids walking down the street, seeing somebody jump into the truck and take off, it's crazy.
Babcock says he drove after the suspect and later found him and held him at gunpoint until deputies arrived.
I thought he was going to kill somebody out of the way he was driving.
But the county is now charging him with reckless driving.
That was heartbreaking.
Babcock says that all he was trying to do is to protect his property to support his family. But he says current laws are not stopping criminals from stealing cars and what he calls a hopeless situation for many.
Am I going to be next again? Is somebody going to come back again tomorrow and do this to us? So, and especially in the middle of the day, you know, it's like they're not afraid of doing this.
Babcock is scheduled for court on May 13th in Eanville. I'm Louis Tran, Kyra 7 News.
So many.
Yeah. So June 6th, it goes into effect. This is another one of these laws that was passed after George Floyd. You had a bunch of people saying, well, George Floyd's death is just a classic example of police brutality, police killing black men. Although none of the facts or data could support that, it didn't matter. Then everybody ran with it. So you get this law that gets in place. We don't want police to have to interact with drivers because they interact with drivers, more likely to kill them or more likely to violence because of it. So then they come up with this law, which is based on no data or fact. And then this is what we have. So guys just drive away from the cops. People steal cars. They don't care. They're not going to get caught. Nobody bothers. And as this guy says in the piece that was done, I think it was Cairo 7 or whoever had it, the guy's insurance has gone from like $7,000 to $14,000. And when you lose your car, you know, as the other piece in the Seattle Times today, oh, people have lost their car. You know, they can't get to work. They can't replace the car. They're really screwed. It's just not losing property. You're losing the ability to have, you know, effectively a life that allows you to support yourself because you have no way to get around. Because someone's decided they want to steal a car and nobody's going to stop them and no one's going to catch them and no one's going to throw them in prison. So hopefully we start to see some numbers change June 6th. We'll see what happens.
Did they mention what the man who stole the car was charged with, if anything? I mean, they caught him. The guy held him at gunpoint. So was he?
They said virus. They yes. said they teased a 6 p.m. report. So we don't have a lot of all their details, but they said he initially was charged with five crimes. I don't know whether they felonies or misdemeanors, but it got reduced to just one. That's all I know.
Oh, that's a tease.
Thank you, Joe.
Yep.
Oh, yay. It's just crazy what happened, right? So it's the same sort of stuff that's happening. College campuses, you take something that is not fact-based, all feeling-based, and then you react to feelings. You know, that's what all the turmoil across these college campuses based on the fact that the Jews are oppressors and they're killing and there's genocide of Gaza. Not true, but it doesn't matter. The feelings then motivate the actions. Police are out indiscriminately killing black men. Yep. Unarmed black men, was it 12 a year or something, according to the Washington Post? But it doesn't matter because we watched George Floyd die. Then all of a sudden, now we're going to get all these rules and laws and regulations in place based on something, that, again, not fact-based, but feeling-based. And then everybody runs with it. So just so many bad laws that came out, so many bad decisions based upon things not fact-based, but feeling-based. And then you end up with these messes that happen. And this is an example of it right there. So the guy got his truck back, I assume. And wonder what the one charge was for the man that stole the truck.
Probably know. Stolen vehicle.
I would assume. That's pretty obvious at that point. Yeah.
Stolen, again, Sherry, one that's charge that of stolen truck.
Stolen truck. That's why, you know, you must have been a detective in another life, Sherry.
I do love true crime.
I know you do.
Yes, I do.
Of all the female TV detectives, which one did you feel you related to the most? Cagney and Lacey, Angela Lansbury. Were you one of the angels? Did you
No,
one of the angels?
I didn't really get into that until I was much older. So those shows didn't really appeal to me. I didn't even like the crime shows. And there were so many back then. Barnaby Jones, Streets of San Francisco.
Never did it for you.
No, not too much. I mean, I loved Columbo.
Yeah. Who didn't?
Yeah, because he was so weird.
You're not referring to his glass eye, were you?
Oh, no. No, I was referring to the fact, and the good thing about Columbo was that they do the crime in the very beginning, which was, some of them were really interesting. They did that, and then Columbo unraveled it, and that was boring a little bit. So it was fun to just watch the crimes in the beginning of the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're one of those people who just tune in for the bloodshed. I get it. You don't care about his wrinkled trench coat and his chomping a cigar and then all of a sudden having some sort of thought just before he turns back around. He goes, you know, wait a minute. The thing that bothers me most. Yeah, he didn't like that. He had a glass eye, and I used to say to my mom, there's a lot of benefits to having a glass eye. And she said, what? I said, well, Louis Henry, who was at St. Aloysius with me, had a glass eye. And he used to be able to cover his good eye in class like this and put his elbow up on the desk and fall asleep and keep his other eye open, which was the glass eye, so it looked like he was awake.
Wow.
And I said to my mom, if I ever get my eye shot out with a BB gun, because that's what happens with all BB guns, I said, it would help me sleep in class.
That was that the only good thing about it, or were there more?
Well, you always have to find the bright side to everything, Sherry. You lose your eye from a BB gun, then it's like, okay, what else do you get?
Well, could he do any tricks?
Like take it out? Yes, he could take it out, put it in his mouth. Yes, he take it out, put it in his mouth, spit it out in his hand. Yes, he did all that stuff. But once you see that once, it's pretty much like, okay, now what are you going to do?
What did the eye look like with no glass eye in it?
Oh, it closed.
Oh, okay. So,
would you have been in there peeling it open with your giant hands wanting to see what Lewis Henry's eye hole looked like?
Just trying
then
to figure it out.
Then you're yelling back, eye hole, eye hole.
Open it.
God.
Yeesh. Just think of the things you could hide in there.
Okay, Dave, will you stop? We're doing news. We're a news organization. This is not what Marconi had in mind. My goodness. Ladies and gentlemen, get your acts together. Axe, not axe. Never mind.
I got my axe right here.
Someone's going to get hurt. Here we go with the John Curley, Sherry Ellegar show. You write to us at mynorthwest.com. Come on in through Muckershook Casino Resort text line at 1-888-973-5476. Beginning of the show, we played a video cut from Photog Steve 81. I asked Joe, see if we can get him on the phone. He is a guerrilla journalist. And three times in the 50-some second cut, he had mentioned that the media didn't mention this, or the media didn't tell you, or, you know, basically the media's dropping the ball on this sort of stuff. What do you know? Speaking of the media getting the ball, Joe calls up, gets Photog Steve 81 on the line, and joins us on the air now. Photog Steve, thank you. I watch your stuff on Instagram all the time, and I actually thought you worked for Como, Cairo, or some other organization, because you always seemed to be right wherever the crimes were happening. Let me ask you something. Why do you think the media doesn't report or do what you do? Do you think that they have a hands-off position on this stuff, or what would motivate them not finding the additional information that you find?
Yeah, I think the industry's changed a lot over the years. So I license a lot of footage to them. So we, you know, myself and a couple other photographers had out it, and I didn't think it can still count. Some of the
Let's do this like a real radio station. Let's recall Photog Steve on a line where we can hear him, make sure we can understand him before we get him on the air, and we'll
he's at Harborview waiting, I think, for more details on this particular case. So I'll try him right back and see if we can maybe get to a better spot.
Here's what I'm going to ask him about. So here's a case that came up. So this is the first shooting of the year. The police shot this guy. His name was Bruce McNeely. And the story that runs at MyNorthwest.com, and you watch it on other local media, is that Bruce McNeely went to this house. These cops were there. They got into a fight, a gunfight, and McNeely dies. So Photog Steve 81 introduces the story this way, that Bruce McNeely was a high-ranking, I think he was in the Navy or Army, I forget which department he was in, involved with Guantanamo, a high-ranking official in the military, and that Photog Steve then goes to say that he went to that house because he had heard that this man went to this person's house, was set up to buy the division that was, you know, trying to break sex trafficking rings. And this guy, McNeely, went to that house to rent a 7-year-old, right?
I think we got him back, by the way.
Okay. So Photog is Steve 81. I was just telling the story. So I'm going to take the story of Bruce McNeely. And I read the news reports of it, that this guy went to this person's house and got into a firefight and with the police and died. You report that this guy, a high-ranking military official, now retired, went to that house because he thought he was going to the house to rent a 7-year-old. But no one else in the news organization had any of those details, the stuff that I read just on a cursory thing. But you had all of that. Now, why did you have that and the news media didn't have it? They just reported it basically as a police shooting.
Yeah, so we've gotten that. He actually gone to a hotel in Tukwila to rent a 7 and 11-year-old from what turned out to be an undercover mother. And that came to me first. Even Tukwila PD didn't know that they had an officer down out there because of the Seattle police on a special op. So I was in Vegas. My two people were here in town. They went and started working the scene while I started coordinating stuff. And very quickly, we found the license plate off the vehicle out there. And that comes back to just getting out there, doing it old school. You got to go there. You got to see it. They towed the car early, but that day I had the license plate and I figure out who the guy is and then quickly find out he actually was the medical director of Guantanamo Bay under Bush and Obama for a number of years. Mm. He was very high ranking. Then retires, comes out here to Kitsap County. And then since then, we found other cases of him being involved in sex trafficking, but getting diverted into counseling programs, not suffering real consequence. And then it comes to this. So we find out later that when he called in to this undercover operation, hoping to find these children, they recognized his number from previous stings. And so it was just pulling records to say, well, why did they recognize his number? Where would they recognize it from? Let's find out what states he's been in. Just do it old school like it used to be, where you go out there, do your research, check with everybody, start getting as many facts as you can to put it together.
Yeah. But go ahead, sure. You have some questions? Well,
So, Steve, you're sort of somewhere between a photojournalist, a private detective. You've got all these things going at once. But are you pretty much a one-man band? How do you get your leads? How do you get people to tell you the inside scoop on things so you can go there? You can investigate the facts. You can see what the other side of the story is.
Sure. So it's myself and two other photographers, and then we do the research as well. We have sometimes help outside from other people who come and volunteer. From that, though, a big thing that helped was when I got a larger following online, the amount of people who were driving around seeing things and dropping tips seems to be far more than a lot of the news agencies. The news agencies, it's a little bit more cumbersome process, or they're worried that they're going to get tracked. I think they feel a bit safer coming to me. I get a lot of law enforcement and people in other parts of the front line that are hitting me up saying, hey, you should go look into this. You should go to this other area. Maybe you should be here in about 30 minutes, those type of tips. Mm. A lot don't pan out, right? And nobody hears about those ones. We really do vet this stuff pretty heavily before we hit the gas and go forward. But it starts with a lot of driving around to nothings. And then something big happens and we can corroborate it and it's time to go.
So you keep saying, you know, old school. Do you think there was a time when the media in Seattle, I don't know how long you've lived here, we're doing sort of old school, you know, hard work, you know, gumshoe sort of following up on leads and stuff? What do you think?
Absolutely.
And if it was like that, what happened, do you think, Steve, that it's changed so much?
I'm not as critical of the people who are working in it now, but there's not that many left. A lot of these newsrooms have cut their budgets dramatically. So the reporters who are out there are doing good work. I don't want to villainize them and the work that they are doing, but they miss a lot of stuff. A lot of what, if they were able to send a reporter to some of the incidents that we go to, they would report them as well because they have firsthand account and we're able to verify it. They can't do that off of somebody like me who's a vendor. So if they can't get law enforcement to later come back it up, and law enforcement's cut budgets too. Their PIOs don't always work all weekend. And so by the time they get the story verified, it's old. But when you're there and you've seen it and you've listened to the radio traffic and you have witnesses on camera who can back it up, now I have something I can report on that they just couldn't get to because they don't have enough people anymore.
So it's a staffing problem. It's not an ideology, not, you know, sort of a problem where they just look at, well, we don't want to cover that story because that would make us seem like we're biased or racist or something. Like, you did the story on the 59-year-old man, Lester Clay, who walked out of the prison and stole the one of the administrator's car and just took off with it. You seem to be everywhere, I guess, because you get the inside tips on this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Is there a story right now that you don't want to let too much out on that you're developing or following that the media is completely cold on?
Yeah, there is one that I'm working actually with Department of Corrections, and there are a lot of people working at Department of Corrections who are not happy. They are coming to me saying that there are corrections officers having affairs with inmates, helping inmates bring in contraband, hiding a lot of stuff. They're trying to get documents, and I brought it around to a couple other agencies, and everybody's really scared of it. They go, when we go down this path, we get threatened with attorneys. We can't touch it. And so now it's on somebody like me to possibly run with this. However, I don't have the budget of an entire staff of people to go over documents.
and go through this. So it's one that I really want to hit harder on, but I'm limited as one individual to be able to get people to talk and be able to actually back up the documents that they have.
Steve, do you ever go on vacation? I mean, this must just really consume you as a human being that you're really on high alert all the time.
I thrive off of it. My background was in real estate development. I was in that for about 20 years. It was a very rewarding career, but it felt like work. And I got into this a few years ago. I've never worked harder and slept less and been happier doing something to where, you know, when I go home after a big one and I feel like, man, I could sleep for hours and then something comes in, I'm right back out on the road going again. And I wish I'd found this earlier in my life, really.
Are you vulnerable or exposed in any way for slander or libel?
So, sure, absolutely. Anybody is. You know, I am very careful with what I do. When I get tips, so for those who've ever sent me a tip and then not seen anything come of it, I don't just run with tips. Tips start me down a path, but until I can actually put it together, back it up with either that be a paper trail or on-scene footage or something to go with it, I don't just go out and I could be putting out stories all day long of half-baked stuff that maybe are kind of half-true. I really pride myself on, I've never had that happen where we put out a story and not been spot on. It's why, you know, a lot of people are sharing stuff like today. Today, that me putting that out about that councilman, a lot of people could have said, well, I'm not seeing it anywhere. I don't even think I can trust this. And yet the story lit on fire because there's a track record here of doing it right, doing it accurately.
So for tips, what do we tell people?
What was that? What was the question?
What should we tell? If people want to tip you off to something, where do they find you?
The best place is Instagram. I monitor my DMs on there. I'm on every platform now. I'm on TikTok with a large following. Same on Instagram. I'm also on Twitter. You can send me messages there. I'm on a new app called RIFC, RYFFC, that's kind of designed to be a new news-type app. Send me those. TikTok's hard to monitor all the messages on there, so try the other platforms. Okay. And we do try and catch up and check on everything.
All right. Well, we appreciate you coming on and letting us know why you're doing it and what you're working on next. We'll continue to follow you in case the media doesn't pick up the ball that is laying there right there in front of them. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. Thanks for coming on. There we go.
Thank you so much.
All right. Dramatic sting there. All right. Sherry? Concerned about his vacation time.
Well, I mean, this is a job that never ends. Like he can't really pass the baton to somebody else. So it must be.
I would like to think the two of us is 24 hours a day, 365 days as well, Sherry. We're always there. Always.
Always.
Okay. Except on Fridays and think tomorrow I'm off. And I think you're off next Monday. Here we go. Joe, good job getting Photog Steve on there. That was great.
Hey,
thank you. Well done.
Joe Mama.
Yeah.
I'm jealous of his job. That sounds kind of fun.
It is cool. I mean, that would be.
Yeah. It's like private eyes.
But no vacations, apparently, Sherry, for you.
Well, I mean, I think it gets in your blood and you just can't let it go because you're always chasing something. And there's a new one that comes up, like he says, so you never really get any rest.
Wow.
But he's very passionate.
It's a nice buzz that comes with it, I'll bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Follow along all those stories. And Joe, did you have to drop the Evening Magazine to get him to come on? Is that what happened?
No, he brought that up.
He said,
I grew up watching John.
Yeah. Ride that pony right into the
barn. Right.
Or the zebra that could have been killed by the cougar. The story, if you're following, that one of the zebras that was not captured was roaming around North Bend, and then somebody saw on a trail camera that they saw a cougar. Is it on the same trail camera? They saw a cougar, but they also saw a zebra run by the trail camera as well. I wrote my friend Larry, the hunter. I said, Larry the hunter. That's how he's in my phone.
Nice.
I said, hey, would a cougar try and kill a zebra? And he wrote, a zebra? Hell yeah. What a story he could tell his buddies.
Oh,
Sherry, I think Elton John said it best when he said the circle of life.
Uh-huh. Well, it's just that a zebra, you know, he's out on this trail. He has no natural, you know, defenses or anything. He doesn't know what
Excuse me.
He can kick, I know.
Kick 3,000 pounds. He could kick a lion to death. Okay? He also, he's got sharp teeth.
Yeah, well, it's a lion. Nobody can beat a lion.
I read about it. Fun facts about zebras.
It's a cougar, not a lion.
Okay, you think a cougar. Oh, here we go again. Pull back the giant cougar. Sherry and I argue about this all the time, about could a cougar or a lion kill a zebra. This has been going on for years now, Sherry. We've known each other for 12 years. And I thought we had just simply agreed to disagree. But oh no, here we go again. So bring it on, girly. I hope you're not on vacation. The zebra can kill the cougar with the same kick that he uses to kill the lion. I rest my case.
Okay, but what was spotted on this camera was a cougar, not a lion. And I think the cougar is much smaller than a lion, so I think the zebra may have a fighting chance.
Well, we'll see. But again, it's the circle of life.
But it's
Elton
animals.
John said it
I don't want them to get hurt, ever.
Do you want the cougar to eat?
Well, the cougar's got other stuff. I mean, this is not the zebra's natural environment. It's the cougar's natural environment. So the poor zebra doesn't have anything to eat.
If a zebra can kill a lion, it could kill probably a pack of cougars.
Well,
there we go. That's Joe. Oh, here we go. Just bring it on. You see him at the Makushu Casino. They're going to be fighting it out over there. All right. Go over to Nate in the Beacon Plumbing Traffic Desk. Sherry, I didn't mean to do that. This is just, you struck a nerve. We've been talking about this for years now.
Can we just do this off the air?
Yeah,